Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 80 countries around the world over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Follow the Money when we come back. Hey, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions, and they've been banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these ten simple, time-tested laws, we now see the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place, and they're teaching the ten planks to the Communist Manifesto in our public schools, public institutions, and now we've been led to make them a part of our national psyche. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent? Now, that's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments, and they even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. That's not separation of church and state. Now, there's still one school left in America that still teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the penalties and the 33 benefits that we all receive for their observance. Now, every law has a penalty. You do not have to know what the penalty to a law is to suffer from its effect. Now, whether you call this the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, Karma, or something else, it's automatic, and it works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happened to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. Now, it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining, and it's free. And you can call and order one right now. The number to call is 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website at georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click on the email, send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. Well, President George Bush says that the economy is fundamentally strong and sound. I was reading Jim Willie the other day. He puts out a paper called the Hat Trick Newsletter. Jim Willie, the Hat Trick Newsletter. You can find him at www.goldenjackass.com. GoldenJackass.com. Jim Willie. Now, he put out a series of articles starting about, I think it was November the 9th through last week. Yeah, about 7, 8, 9 articles, which have carefully documented and detailed the implosion of the world's economic system. And in the 130.08 edition, he says, Wall Street and the other major bankers continue to soil their pants. They realize several looming tragedies are on the horizon. One, the prime 3A mortgage bonds have lost 20% of their value. Two, the innovative, flexible, adjustable mortgages are due to default in droves. Three, The enormous growing list of underwater mortgages are beyond rescue. 4. The big banks are facing dire insolvency threats as new defaults approach. 5. Enormous bond write-downs have only begun for the big banks. 6. Insolvency can turn to bankruptcy with more debt rating agencies and downgrades. 7. Mortgage bond investors contemplate lawsuits accusing Wall Street of fraud. 8. Wall Street banks face the prospect of over $1 trillion in mortgage bond buyouts. And 9. The rescue and remedy will trash the U.S. dollar and catapult the gold price. The only good news in there is that when the dollar goes down, the gold price goes up. Most of you don't have any gold. Wouldn't know what to do with it if somebody handed you some. I've asked people, do you want to be paid in gold or worthless, irredeemable paper? And they'll smile and say, oh, I'll just take that worthless, irredeemable paper. They just kind of grin at you. They don't have a clue as to what they're talking about. They don't understand what I'm talking about. And furthermore, they can't learn. Well, they'll learn, all right, but it's, as my old daddy said, the school of hard knocks. Now, we need some hard, fast solutions. And Jim Willie's just touching the tip of the iceberg. He didn't tell you about the derivatives market, which is about to implode, and the bond market, which is about to implode. And this, he just mentioned three banks on here. There's six of the big banks that are ready to go bankrupt. And the president says the economy is fundamentally sound. Excuse me, troops. Why do we need 1-800-995-HOPE, you know, this hope plan, if the economy is sound? Hey, why do we have all these mortgages going upside down if the economy is sound? And why do we need the stimulus package if the economy is fundamentally sound? The truth of the matter is the economy is sick. It is mortally wounded unto death. Now, it just takes time for a body to die. You know, death in the movies comes pretty fast. But in real life, I watched my sister-in-law die. It took her 18 months. When economies die, it sometimes takes a decade or more. Now, out of it, something new is going to occur, and out of this one, something new and worse is going to occur, which is called the mark of the beast. This isn't going to be good at all. Now, I started off by telling you about a doctor down in Florida who said he needed to know where the closest airport was so that when this thing turns turtle, he knows where he's going to go. He's going to come here to the farm, and I guess he wants me to feed him, clothe him, and house him, take care of him. I don't know what led him to believe that I was in the rescue business or I was in the welfare business and I'm going to save him. You know, kind of like the dog people, you know, they want to save all the dogs that are out there and all the cats and bring in your cats and dogs, you know, and we just have to save them and find homes for them. You know, the people that are trying to save cats and dogs are Christians that can't count. I told you that in the last program. Christians can't count. Otherwise, they wouldn't waste their time trying to save dogs and cats. It's like trying to save mice and rats. The numbers grow by geometric progression. You know, you got to have a solution to all these cats and dogs being born, and the solution is dead. D-E-D. Dead. That's the solution to dogs and cats. They don't understand it. Hell, leave them alone. Don't wake them up at this late stage of the game. Now, the same thing is true here of economics. I'm not here to save the world, and I'm not here to free the slaves. Because do you understand, boys and girls, that if we freed all the slaves, who would do the work. We need slaves. I don't deny it. And the ruling elite want to keep all the slaves that they can. Now, in the old days, we used to put chains on people and enslave them with whips. We don't do that. Hell, that's passé. Today, we enslave people with debt. And then we work these people to death, serving us. Now, our Creator told us that that was wrong, and He told us not to do that, so I thought I'd share that with you. The way they have enslaved us is with unjust weights and balances. Listen to these two statutes now. You Christians can just tune out, because I'm going back to the Old Testament. I gave you a program yesterday, and I never mentioned any scriptures in the Old Testament. Well, today I'm going to do that. It's in Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. Now, here's our instructions, the statutes, and economic law. It says, you shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall you have. I am the Eternal your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Boys and girls, stocks, bonds, Federal Reserve notes, mortgages, and commercial paper are all unjust weights and balances. They are illegal, they're unlawful, they're a tort, they're a trespass, they are a capital felony. And the penalty is death. And everybody's participating in it. And now people are starting to get nervous. Because if the ship sinks, will I die? And the answer is yes. That's the bottom line. And it's designed that way. And here's the second statute. It says in Deuteronomy 25, verses 13 through 16, three verses, it says, you shall not have in your bag diverse weights, a great and a small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures, a great and a small. But you shall have a perfect and a just weight. A perfect and a just measure shall you have, that your days may be lengthened in the land which the Eternal your God giveth thee. For all that do such things, and all that do unrighteously, are an abomination unto the Eternal your God. Using credit cards, Federal Reserve notes, checking accounts, mortgages, and debt payments are an abomination to this God. Now, most people don't serve or worship this God. This is a different cat of another stripe. So I don't want to offend your God, whoever he is and wherever he is. He's probably a pretty nice guy. Probably is very kind and very gentle. This God isn't. This God is not kind, and he is not gentle. So I just thought I'd share that with you and introduce you to a new concept and a new guy. And if you want to know who's bringing this upon us, it's our own God. This is the Creator of the universe. This is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God that I've described a time or two. This guy's meaner than a junkyard dog. Nice guy. Great sense of humor. Great sense of humor. I think he's a pretty nice guy. But he's kind of a no-nonsense sort. You know, kind of like my daddy. When my daddy said, boy, come here, you needed to say yes, sir, and hustle. Because if you didn't, there could be dire consequences. And that's what we're facing here. And that's what all of you out there somehow kind of sixth sense. You're sitting there saying, this thing doesn't bode well. I don't know where it's going. I don't know how it's going to come out. But I think I better vote for Hillary Clinton. Or I better vote for Osama bin... No, it's not Osama. It's what the hell is that guy's name now? Obama. Obama. I keep getting him mixed up with Osama. We got Osama and Obama. Got to keep those guys straight. Anyway, we're going to vote. And these leaders are going to lead us out of this morass. All right. Boys and girls, I've been around here watching these elections now for a long time. And do you know what the problem was in the 1952 election? It was the damn Democrats. It was that Harry Truman that got us bogged down in Korea. And what we need was a change. Okay. So we got a change. His name was Eisenhower. And he was in office for about 8 years, and at the end of the 8 years, you people were just livid, just mad as hell about the recession of 1958. And you said, we need a change. We need a change. Okay, so you changed, and then you got Kennedy as a Democrat. God, the guy was wonderful. Told you everything you wanted to hear. It was Camelot. And somebody killed him. That's what happens to nice guys. They always finish last. Then Lyndon Johnson comes in. Lyndon Johnson takes over the Vietnam War. Lyndon Johnson. Oh, God, we hated Lyndon Johnson. We rioted in the streets. What we need is change. We got to have change. So we elected Richard Nixon. Then the Republicans came in. See where we're going with this? It's Democrat, Republican. Then it's Democrat, Republican. Then it's Democrat, Republican. Hell, we're never satisfied. And we're always looking for change. Change is coming. You're going to have Obama here pretty soon. But Mr. Obama, nice guy that he is going to be totally unable to solve these problems because these problems are bigger than human beings. This is a big deal. So, you know, if somebody came to me and said, well, Mr. Gordon, do you think you could take over as President of the United States and solve this problem? And the answer is, hell no! I can't solve this problem. It's way beyond me. I'm going to be doing real good if I can save my own hiney out of this, let alone save yours. And that's the point I'm trying to make. I got people calling me on the telephone saying, oh, Mr. Gordon, I need your advice. I need you to tell me what to do. What you're saying, in effect, is I'm tired of my Republican masters, and now I need a new master, Mr. Gordon, and I'd like you to be my new master. We're tired of George Bush as our master, so we need a new one. Well, I'm sorry to disappoint you out there, but, you know, this old frail body just ain't going to hack it. This old man just can't support everybody in the world, take care of everybody in the world. But I'll tell you what, I can tell you, What some of your problems are and what some of your solutions are. And that's because I've already lived through this, and so I'm one of those old gray-haired guys. See, I've already invented this wheel. Hey, I already went down that path. I can tell you what's at the end of that path. I went down that trail, and I'm on my way back. And if you want to go down there, have at it. But I went down there, it didn't work for me, and I doubt seriously that it's going to work any better for you. So if you want to vote, get out there and vote. But I don't think it's going to help you. What you need are real solutions to real problems. So let's start with the doctor who calls and he says, "Jeez, I need to have a place to go." You're right, doc. And the solution to your problem is Strategic Relocation by Joel Skousen. Now, I did a series of programs on that. Go back in our archives and look for Strategic Relocation. Now, some of you are going to say, but Mr. Gordon, I don't have enough money to do that. Okay? You need to save all of the capital that you've got in your asset portfolio. And in your portfolio, you've got assets and you've got liabilities. And you need to renege on your liabilities, and you need to conserve every asset you can, judgment-proof yourself, and save your own bacon. And I've been telling you all week now that the solution to that is I have two classes. One's called subsistence and survival. The other is called how to make $100,000 a year on 25 acres or less. You should have started 30 years ago, and you didn't. You should have started 5 years ago, and you didn't. You should have started 6 months ago, and you didn't. But at some point in time, you're going to come to the realization that I've got to do something different. I've got to do something, even if it's wrong. And God told us a little story here. It's over here in Leviticus chapter 26. And then he said over here about verse, let's see if I can find it here. I got to back up a page here. Leviticus 26. Here it is, right here. Starts in verse 40. He says, if they will confess their iniquity, and the iniquity of their fathers, and their trespasses which they have trespassed against me, and that also they have walked contrary to me. Let's pause right there. Verse 40. You know, boys and girls, we've been given the finger to our God, and we have been walking contrary contrary to his very plain instructions. For instance, that mortgage payment that you're making, you were told not to do that. But you know, you're smarter than God, and you went ahead and did it anyway. Now you're upside down, you can't service your debt. And if you can today, you won't be able to tomorrow. And if it ain't tomorrow, it'll be next year. The day is coming when you won't be able to service your debt. And your new master, whoever that is, Obama or whoever, is going to suggest to you that if you'll come down and get your mark of the beast, that he'll fix everything for you. And you'll line up to get the mark of the beast. But when you do, you need to understand, it's going to get worse, not better. All right, now he says, if you'll confess your iniquity and the iniquity of your fathers, this didn't start with you. It started years ago with my daddy. And your daddy, and his daddy, and you're his daddy, and on back several generations. When we started giving our God the finger and we stopped listening to the Ten Commandments and started practicing the Ten Planks to the Communist Manifesto, we jumped the tracks of sanity. And now what we're reaping is the inevitable result of it. So here again he says, now if you will confess your iniquity and the iniquity of your fathers and their trespass, which they have trespassed against me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, and that you have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary unto them, and I have brought you in unto the land of your enemies, if then their uncircumcised hearts be humbled, and they then accept of the punishment of their iniquity. We are headed into punishment, boys and girls. Wake up. Punishment's coming. Now, if you will accept your punishment without making excuses, let me give you a little piece of information here. When God came into the Garden of Eden, he said to Adam, he said, "Hey, Adam, how come you're wearing those fig leaves?" And he said, "Well, because I'm naked." And God said, "Who told you you were naked?" And he said, "Well, we looked around and we could see that we were naked." And then God said, "Well, now, did you eat off that tree that I told you not to eat off of?" And then Adam made an excuse. And he said, "Well, yeah, I did, but it wasn't my fault, boss. It was that woman you gave me. It was her fault." He goes over to the woman. He says, "Hey, woman, come on over here." He said, "Did you eat off that tree?" And she says, "Yeah, yeah, I did. But listen, it's not my fault. It was that snake that you put in the garden. You see, God, in the final analysis, it's really your own fault. If you hadn't made that damn stupid tree to start with, we couldn't have eaten off of it. And if you hadn't put that snake over here, then he wouldn't have beguiled me, and I wouldn't have eaten off that tree. So you see, God, it's not our fault. It's your fault." Now, let me explain how that works. Life is made up of choices. And Adam and Eve had a choice to make. They were living in another man's garden. They were eating off of another man's tree. They were guests on his premises. And he said, "Well, now, as long as you're guests here on my premises, this is my planet Earth, this is my universe, I created you, you belong to me, this garden belongs to me, those trees belong to me, and that tree over there is off limits to you. For whatever reason, I'm just an ornery, cantankerous old fart, but that tree over there is mine, keepa, your hands are offa." And they went over and stole off of his tree. So, like any host that has a wayward guest, he got a little bummed out. And he says, "Okay, I'm going to throw you off my premises. I'm going to throw you out of my garden." Pretty natural, normal reaction, I'd say. Now, the difference is here, he says, now if you will accept your punishment, if you will admit that you gave me the finger, told me to kiss off, and you wouldn't do a damn thing I told you, maybe I can do something for you. Now, I'm always amazed by people. They will constantly justify themselves and say, "It's not my fault." Boys and girls, you had a choice to make when you signed the mortgage. You had a choice to make when you signed up for the credit cards. You had a choice to make when you bought at Walmart. You had a choice to make. Should I stockpile a four-year supply of food? Should I buy, hey, Doc, should I buy this airplane or should I make preparations for the collapse of the world economy? Doc, out of your own mouth, you've condemned yourself. You wrote me a letter. You said, hey, you called my wife on the phone. You said, hey, I've got an airplane and I'm going to land it real close to your farm so I can walk away from the damn thing and have you support me. Hey, listen. Why don't you bring the airplane up here and trade me the airplane? I mean, come on. Why don't we get intelligent here and start making a business deal? Why don't you come up here and say, hey, Gordon, you take care of me, and I'll give you my airplane. Let's do a little business here. No, I like to burn airplane gas, too. Now, I gave up my airplane gas so that I could stockpile enough food, clothing and shelter, and pay for my farm and support my family. I can take care of about six people here. I can take care of my family. Now, why can't you take care of your family? Now, everybody has a duty, and everybody has a job. And if you're unable to do that, if you're getting nervous, hey, maybe I'm not able to take care of my family, maybe I'm going to lose my job, maybe I'm going to lose my house, maybe I'm going to lose my car, my credit and everything else around me. Hey, how come? You know, when we got started on this game, when I was born, I came into the world wet, naked, and cold, just like you and everybody else. And when my dad died, he didn't leave me 5 cents. I got no inheritance. But I got out there and I went to work, and I told you the other day, I said, you need about $4,500. About $4,500 and 9,000 pounds of food, and you need a place to put it. You need to get out of debt, and you need to have a way to make a living. These are the fundamentals of life, boys and girls. You need food, clothing, and shelter. And it's available to everybody on an equal basis. And that doctor down here in Florida, he can go out and produce that just like I did. Just like you can. And in fact, we'll all be better off if we forget about Obama and Hillary and John and Mike and get off our dead ass and go to work and start looking out for ourselves. This thing of having a government that is going to be all-powerful and it's going to solve all of our problems. We're going to elect. We're going to create a God that is going to give us perfect security is a fantasy. It's a fantasy on the order of the Wizard of Oz and Alice in Wonderland and Goldilocks and the Three Bears. That the world doesn't work that way. It ain't going to come out that way. Now he's got a little more to say here. This is Leviticus 26, starting in verse 40. Now in verse 42 he says, then will I remember my covenant with Jacob, and also my covenant with Isaac, and also my covenant with Abraham, will I remember, and I will remember the land. Now there's three contracts. This God has three contracts with three of our ancestors. These contracts inure to the heirs and assigns forever. We're talking law here, kids. You are a very rich heir. Did you know that? Did you know that you have a great inheritance? You have an inheritance that is worth several million dollars. Did you know that? Well, if you'd quit listening to George Bush, and if you'd quit listening to all these damn preachers who have been lying to you all these years, then you would know that you are a very rich heir, worth a lot of money. But you signed it all away because you have been the prodigal son. Now, my suggestion is that we wake up to this reality. The prodigal son story wasn't put in there for no good purpose. The Messiah told us plainly that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The prodigal son is a story. And it's a story about you and me. One day I woke up and I said, you know, running off from home wasn't one of my brighter moves. Giving the old man the finger wasn't one of my more strategic financial plans. So one day I woke up and said, you know, I think I'll go back and tell the old man I'm sorry as hell and sit down and shut up and go to work for a change. Maybe things will work out better. And they did. And they will for you and everybody else. First step. First step. You got to quit giving the old man the finger. I mean, you know, just your common sense ought to tell you that. You don't have to be a Rhodes Scholar to figure out the same judge that you give the finger to is the same judge that's going to pass sentence on you. The last thing you want to do is give the judge the finger. You can give the finger to the jury after they come back with the guilty verdict. Don't give the judge the finger. Doesn't make any sense. All right, now in verse 43 says, the land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lies desolate without them, and they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred my statutes. You know, boys and girls, we have hated the law of God. We hate the Ten Commandments, we hate His commandments, we hate His statutes, and we hate His judgments. We always have. We Americans despise it. We are not going to practice it. And we're going into national captivity, and we are going to see famine, starvation, national captivity. We're going to get punished. We're going to get a whooping. As they say down here in the South, a whooping. You don't get a whipping here, see. That's Yankee. You get whooped down here. Now, we need a solution to this, and the solution is in Exodus 23:20. I told you that story the other day, so I'm going to repeat it to you again in case you missed it. Exodus 23:20. It says, now, you shall serve the Eternal your God, and you shall bless us. Verse 25, and He shall bless your bread and your water, and I'll take sickness away from the midst of you, and there shall nothing cast or young nor be barren in your land, and the number of your days I will fulfill. Now I got to take a break right here, but we'll come back and we'll take a look at the number of days I will fulfill, because if you're afraid of starving to death or dying, I got news for you. That's against the law. You can't die. You can't die till you're 70 years old. By contract, by law. Unless you breach the contract. And I'll tell you how that works right after this. You're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States. We're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, then please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Remember, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. Now, it's 8 schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals by prearrangement. Now, the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc. I emphasize adults. Children don't apply. For more information, please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can also be accessed through the website. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience. And the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events, and we do that 7 days a week. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, they're accurate, they're correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to those authors and publications used on this program. Now, we often endorse and recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to you, our listeners. Now, these endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we're endorsing and recommending are going to reciprocate and endorse and recommend the Law Hour. And that's because most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans. And their viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review, which is what makes them hostile to start with. These opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program, though, are mine. They're mine alone. Don't blame the advertisers, the sponsors, the management, or the staff of this network or of this local radio station. If you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, remember our webpage is georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're trying to figure out what the solution is. What are you and I going to do to save our bacon if you're riding on the great ship Titanic and it just hit the iceberg? Because that's about where we're at here with America. Now, you Canadians, you know, you need to understand something here. In Canada, there's about 30 million of you Canadians, and you're protected by the nuclear umbrella that we provide you. And you Australians and New Zealands, just take a look at the north. Take a look on your map, look north, and what do you see up there, way up there in the north? You see 1.3 billion Chinese, and they're all coming to Australia shortly to a city near you. And the only thing that keeps them up there where they're at is the nuclear umbrella, and that nuclear umbrella is about to unwind. So if you think you had problems with the Japs in World War II, you ain't seen nothing yet until the Chinese come down there and start appropriating your raw materials, which you've got a bunch of and they need and they want and they're going to take. And your God is going to help them do it. And he's going to help them do it because you've been giving them the finger. Now, a few of you down there are going to say, well, what do we need to do to turn the tide for me? Just little old me. Okay. Now, I'm going to give you some of that answer here, but I teach two schools on that subject, and I've been encouraging you all week. Why don't you go to our webpage and take a look at subsistence and survival. And we did not get a warning in Matthew 24 for no good purpose. God warned us, told us, explained it. He explained it to us very clearly. And then he's been explaining it to us very clearly. Here's why I'm doing this to you. So when this happens, don't sit back and say, oh, I just don't understand why God's doing this to me. He's doing this to you because you gave him the finger and wouldn't listen. Wouldn't do a damn thing he told you. So now he's going to kick your hiney. So now my common sense comes into play and I say, well, now, we've been giving the finger to our God, and we have been cozying up to this foreign and alien God, this God of the United States, this God of Canada, Australia, New Zealand. You know, these secular gods that want to give us FEMA and income tax. Oh, yeah, we worship those gods. We're very careful to buckle our seatbelt. That's what worship is. It's obedience to your God. It's obedience to your sovereign. We're very careful to buckle our seatbelts and drive 55 and obey the policeman. And we haven't been paying too close attention here to God, to the God of Abraham. So he says, well, okay, you know, you want to give me the finger, fine. But now there's a day of reckoning coming. And this God goes ballistic. He doesn't use the word ballistic. He said he gets furious. And he says, in my fury, will I punish you? Well, you know, in common vernacular, we call that going postal. Now, when this guy goes postal, troops, we need to be the hell off the tracks and out of the rope. That train coming through the tunnel, that's right, that light in the tunnel, it's an oncoming train. Get off the tracks. Because here it comes. And it started last August. Now, this guy Jim Willie over here wrote a series of articles explaining it in detail. I haven't been able to cover all of Willie's articles, but he writes a newsletter called the Hat Trick Newsletter. That costs you money. You can go to Kitco, K-I-T-C-O, Kitco.com, and you can download these free treatises by Jim Willie. Jim Willie is the guy's name. Or you can go to the www.goldenjackass.com. Get it right off the web. Kitco publishes Jim Willie and a whole host and plethora of other newsletter writers. Now, most of these guys are telling you the economy isn't sound. The economy is sick, and it's going upside down. So if you're suspicious that George Bush might be hyping the economy, you're exactly right. That's exactly what he's doing. And the common sense solution now is to stop doing whatever it is that we've been doing, and let's see if we can get a different result. Now, you've been making your interest payments on your mortgage, and you've been real good about that. You've been real good about obeying Baal and disobeying our God. Why don't we turn that around and let's try a new trick? Why don't we tell Baal to go to hell? Why don't we stop paying the usury and interest? Why don't we try to conserve as much of our assets as possible, judgment-proof, and then let's start practicing the Mosaic Law and let's see if we can get a better result. Now, remember I said you're entitled to 70 years. That comes from, let me look that up again for you. Here in Exodus 23:20. Exodus 23:20 through 33 tells you the story. And it's a reference from Psalm 90, verse 10. So if you'll turn over to Psalm 90, verse 10, you're entitled to 70 years, 25,550 days. And you will not die before your 70th birthday practicing this law. Nobody ever does. Well, there's a couple of exceptions. John the Baptist and Jesus were two exceptions to the rule. Everybody else lives to be 70. Unless you're breaking the law. Now, if you violate the terms and conditions of our contract, remember here he said, in Exodus 23, he said, Leviticus 26, he said, then will I remember my covenant, my contract. We have a contract. We Anglo-Saxons have a contract with the Creator of the universe. Now, maybe you didn't know that. And as an outgrowth of that contract, there is an inheritance. And that inheritance is worth a lot of money to each and every one of us. It is worth millions and millions of dollars. And you can't access or collect 5 cents of it because you have to perform with specific performance to the terms and conditions of the contract. For which there are 33 articulable benefits. You get these 33 benefits. One of them, just as an illustration, is everything you put your hand to do will prosper. You want to make money? You can make money hand over fist. That's why I told you. I said, you know, for what's coming down on the world, for what's coming down on the United States of America, famine, cannibalism. You know, right away I say to myself as a businessman, gee, what business would you like to be in a famine? Food. Food. That's the business you want to be in a famine. What business do you want to be in a drought? Water. You want to be in the water business in a drought. All right? So, what you want to do is, old Henry Kaiser said years ago, he used to paint this on his concrete trucks. He'd say, find a need, three words, find a need. And then the barrel would roll over, and it would say, and fill it. Find a need and fill it. Now, what needs are coming upon the world? The needs that are coming upon the world. Subsistence and survival. Just that simple. No big mystery. And we wouldn't know that if we hadn't read it here in the scripture. I mean, I couldn't figure this out by myself. You know, I'm a dummy. I don't have that much smart. But I picked up the scripture and I said, oh, we got a contract here. Well, if there's a contract, what are the terms and conditions? So I looked up the terms and conditions. Write this down so you can read the contract for yourself. The contract, our old covenant contract, is located in Exodus 19, verse 16. Can you write that down? Exodus 19, 16. through Exodus 24, verse 8. There's the terms and conditions of the contract. Now, there's a penal clause to this contract, and that penal clause is located in, get your pen out here and write it down. The penal clause is located in Leviticus chapter 26. That's the whole chapter, and Leviticus chapter 28. Just that simple. This is a business deal. No fuss, no muss. We have a business deal with the Creator of the universe. You and I, boys and girls, are in breach of contract. The breach of contract calls for a penalty clause. The penalty clause has begun. We're about to take it in the shorts. We need a solution. We need a remedy whereby we can remedy or cure our breach of contract, our deficiency. Now, Hank Paulson was on the Lair News Hour the other night, and he said, boys and girls, dial this number. It's toll-free, 888-995-HOPE. If you want to stay in your home, our Secretary of the Treasury said, call that number and we'll give you a 30-day grace period so that you can work out new terms and conditions for your continued enslavement in usury and interest, in violation of the law of God, which is a capital felony. Now, if that's what you want to do, that's a choice for you to make. And the Secretary of the Treasury came on national television and said, I urge you all to make that choice. That's your Secretary of the Treasury. Now, there's another choice for us to make. Now, we could tell our Secretary of the Treasury to stick it where there's no daylight, and we could tell him to take that house and shove it, and then we can save whatever assets we can. We can stop paying usury and interest, which is one out of 133 laws contained in the Bible. And we would be on the first rung of the ladder to obeying God and keeping His commandments, which would be one step closer to collecting on our inheritance, which is worth millions of dollars, which Paulson and the Illuminists and the rest of the politicians and preachers have been feeding off of at our expense for all of our lives. And so I came to a conclusion one day and I said, hell, I've got an inheritance. I don't need this welfare and food stamps. I don't need Hillary Clinton and Obama. Hell, I'm wealthy. I got a lot of money. I got this inheritance. Comes from my Creator. And I didn't know that before, but now I do. And now I'm telling you, you got a lot of money, do you? But you can't collect the money until you specifically perform to the terms of the contract. All right, now let me explain this to you so you can understand it. There's a thing here called usury and interest, and this usury and interest is a capital felony. It's just one law out of 133, but I thought I'd tell you. He says, if you lend money to any of my people that is poor by you, you shall not be to him as a usurer, neither shall you lay upon him usury. The banks are laying upon us usury, boys and girls, against the law. Now, if you at all take your neighbor's raiment to pledge, that's called collateral. Your house is being taken as collateral for this loan. He says, you shall deliver it to him by that the sun goes down. You can't collateralize a loan, boys and girls. It's against the law. And when you do that, you become an accessory before and after the fact. He says, because it's his covering only, it's his raiment for his skin, wherein shall he sleep? And it shall come to pass when he cries out to me that I will hear him because I'm gracious. All right, now, when you're the proximate cause of your own injury, God isn't going to hear you. It's that simple. Now, as soon as you stop doing that, and then you cry out to God and you say, hey, God, I stopped doing that. I was breaking that law. I saw the error of my ways, and I stopped doing that. Now will you help me? Now the answer is, yeah, you will. Now, the reason that we're all out here praying to Jesus and we're not getting any answers to our prayers is because we have yet to stop breaking the law. Of course, Christians don't have to because they're under eternal grace. And that's why the Christians are in so much trouble. And see, they've been listening to these preachers out here for so long. They actually believe the propaganda that they've been listening to. And so they go out here and they borrow money against their house and they start paying usury and interest and they get wrapped up in this promissory note. And then they sign this $108,000 note and they're upside down the day they walk out of the bank, but they think they're making money. Because they can't count. And they will not turn from their wicked way. So their wicked way will simply envelop them and bury them. And that's the purpose behind this penalty clause to start with. The purpose for the penalty clause is to punish you for your criminal behavior. Now, if you want to get out from under the penalty to the criminal behavior, you stop breaking the law and you start obeying the law, and all of a sudden things turn around. You don't have to be real smart to figure that out. Now, let me read it to you in spades. It's over here in Ezekiel chapter 18. I think I got enough time to cover this. Ezekiel chapter 18. Now, listen to this. Here's the boss himself talking. He says, "The word of the Eternal came unto me again, saying, What mean you that you use this proverb concerning the land of Israel, saying, The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. And God says, As I live, says the Eternal, you shall not have occasion any more to use this proverb in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine, and the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Boys and girls, souls die, and you are a soul, and you're going to die." Now he goes on to say, "But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and he has not eaten upon the mountains, and neither has lifted his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, neither has he defiled his neighbor's wife, and neither has he come near to a menstruous woman, and has not oppressed any, but has restored to the debtor his pledge, has spoiled none by violence, has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment, he that has not given forth upon usury, neither has taken any increase, that has withdrawn his hand from iniquity, and has executed true judgment between man and man, if he has walked in my statutes and has kept my judgments to deal truly, he is just. He shall surely live, says the Eternal." Pretty simple, straightforward statement. You do this, you live. Now listen up. Verse 10, "If he begets a son that is a robber, a shedder of blood, and that does the like to any one of these things, and that doeth not any of those duties, but has eaten upon the mountains, defiled his neighbor's wife, has oppressed the poor and the needy, has spoiled by violence, has not restored the pledge, has lifted up his eyes to the idols, has committed abomination, has given forth upon usury, paying your mortgage, and has taken increase, shall he then live? He shall not live. He has done all of these abominations, and he shall surely die, and his blood shall be upon him." That's what I told you before. So this God's not very kind. He's not very gentle. You know, this is just business, nothing personal. It's kind of like Guido with the Mafia. One thing I always liked about the Italians are just incurable romantics. When the Mafia comes out and kills you, you know, they come out with their violin case and they blow you away with their Thompson submachine gun. Boys and girls, it's not vengeance. It's not meanness. It's just business. Now, this over here now is just business. I told you, and you didn't listen. One more, verse 14. Now, lo, if he begets a son, and he sees all of his father's sins which he has done, and he considers, and he does not such like, that has not eaten upon the mountains, neither has lifted up his eyes to the idols of the house of Israel, and has not defiled his neighbor's wife, neither has oppressed any, has not withholden the pledge, neither has spoiled by violence, but has given his bread to the hungry, and has covered the naked with a garment, that has taken off his hand from the poor, that has not received usury or increase, but has executed my judgments, has walked in my statutes, he shall not die for the iniquity of his father. He shall surely live. Now that knocks in the head all of your fears about inherited sin. Poppycock. You're not going to die for the sins of your fathers. You're going to die for your own sins. I'm going to die for my, you're going to die from yours. Now listen, kids, we need an ironclad solution. Not pie-in-the-sky promises from some politician or preacher who's preaching nice stories to you about, well, if you just give your heart to Jesus today, he'll just love you real good. You know, there are 759 of these statutes, judgments, and commandments. They're organized into 133 titles of law. And you need to practice all of them. Or 90%, or 80%, or 70%. You need to do something. You know, besides giving the old man the finger and telling him to kiss off, you know, you need to do a little something, don't you think? Now, there's some tough times coming, and God says, now listen. Instead of justifying yourself and making a lot of excuses and telling me how much it's my fault, if you'll sit down and shut up for a change, fold your hands, listen up, do what I tell you, I'll forgive you for your sins. Stop sinning, obey my voice, listen to me, do what I tell you, and I'll give you your inheritance. And that inheritance, by the way, boys and girls, is worth a lot of money. Now, how much money is it worth? Well, I don't know exactly. I can't quantify it in dollars and cents, but it's worth a bunch. It's worth more than $126,000, which is what we were working for back in 1955. And I'd say if you had $126,000 right now, you people would pretty much be in Fat City, don't you think? All right, now with that, I'm about out of time again, so I'm going to have to give you a final reminder here that you have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard worldwide over the Internet daily. If you'd like more information, why don't you go to our webpage, it's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. And the law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact discs, so if you'd like more information, then please go to our homeschooling page on our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet, where all of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, our time's up. We've got to leave it right there, so we'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station, God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.